Okay, so to introduce tonight's Mishnah, there's a concept from Sefer Dvarim about making sure that Pesach falls out in the spring. The pasuk says, "Shamor es chodesh haviv asisa Pesach l'Hashem Elokecha." So to make sure that that happens, because of the 11-day discrepancy between the lunar calendar and the solar calendar, we have what's called Ibr Shana. We can intercalate the calendar and add a month to the year, and that always is the final month of the year, Adar. So you can only do that up until the final day of Adar. The last day of Adar, it can no longer really be done. And that's how we have Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. So in theory, it could be the very end of the month of Adar, and everybody thinks Pesach is coming, and then the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains the complicated process. It's, of course, all done for us today by the calendar that was set up almost 1,600 years ago, where we have 7 leap years every 19 years or so, or exactly every 19 years, but they used to do it based on the season. So they had a much more fluid situation. So it could be even the 28th day of the month of Adar, and they could decide to add in another month. But wait a second, they already celebrated Purim on the 14th and 15th month of what they thought was Adar, but ends up being Adar Rishon. So the Mishnah says, Karas ha-Megillah be-Adar Rishon, v'nis Abra ha-Shana, they add in a second Adar, Korin Osa be-Adar Sheni. They are obligated to read it in the second Adar, which is not obvious. You could have said, we already read the Megillah in Adar. Right now we're just adding a month for the purposes of establishing Pesach. So we'll get to that in a second. Ein bin Adar Rishon l'Adar Sheni, ela kriyas ha-Megillah matano sabyonim. But as far as the 14th and the 15th are concerned, the 14th and the 15th of Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni are going to be Asurin behesped v'tainis. There aren't going to be any eulogies or fast days. So the question is, what is the real Adar? You have an Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. What's the real Adar? So the normal answer would be the first Adar, right? That's when Adar came. And that is the position that's quoted here at the bottom of the Gemara in Daf Vav. And the Gemara quotes the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvos, right? We always take the first opportunity to do a mitzvah haba liyad chal tach mitzana. But there is another tradition, Martin, you alluded to this last night, based on the relationship between Purim and Pesach, right? Purim and Pesach are considered Yimei Geula, and Lemismach Geula LeGeula, the Gemara says, in a month where there are two Adars, we actually, meaning we know this in advance, they wouldn't necessarily know this in advance, but in a month where you would know in advance that there are two Adars, you would actually mark Purim and all of the associated Parshios, Parshas Shkalim, Parshas Zachor, Parshas Parah, Parshas Chodesh, would all, of course, be done in the second Adar. So it sounds like for purposes of celebration of Purim, the second Adar is primary. Again, in the days when the calendar was more fluid and dynamic, they didn't always know when they were going to add an additional month. It really could be done, like we said, up until the 28th day of Adar. But it's not only halacha in terms of Purim. We have this actually in other areas of halacha. Rachman al-Tzlan, somebody loses a relative. The person passes away in Adar. And the question then becomes, so when do we mark the Yortzeit? So there are basically three different approaches. The classic Sephardic approach is to say what's Kobay in terms of Purim is actually dispositive for Yortzeit as well. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, so they follow the second Adar. The Rama says that the Ashkenazic position is to follow the first Adar. Okay, so if somebody would pass away in Adar, and now you have a leap year, let's say the Yortzeit with the 10th of Adar, so Ashkenazim could follow the opinion that, you know, we mark the Yortzeit and 10th of Adar. There's a third opinion, which is to actually mark both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. I'm sure there are people in the room who have either personally practiced this minhag or are aware of this minhag. Now, what's so fascinating about this from an Ashkenazic position is here you have a little bit of attention, because this not only comes up, I started with the sadder part, in terms of Yortzeit, but also comes up for Bar Mitzvah. Say you have a child that's born on the 10th day of Adar, and now, you know, he's going to turn 13, and he happens to turn 13 in a year that's a leap year. Now you have a big question. When are you going to celebrate his Bar Mitzvah? Are you going to celebrate his Bar Mitzvah on Adar Rishon? Remember, the Ashkenazic tradition is we mark the Yortzeit in Adar Rishon. So here's a very counterintuitive halacha. We don't mark the Bar Mitzvah in Adar Rishon. We mark the Bar Mitzvah in Adar Sheni. That is the Ashkenazic practice. But you're going to have a very good question. You're going to say, wait a second. This kid might really be Bar Mitzvah a month before. And if this kid is Bar Mitzvah a month before, that means he's obligated in mitzvahs, in particular, very serious mitzvah, the mitzvah of tefillin. So even according to the standard Ashkenazic practice, which is to mark the Bar Mitzvah in the second Adar, we actually would have him start putting on tefillin. You know, he could start practicing tefillin a month before. You could always do that. But in terms of really starting to put on tefillin, he should do it from the first Adar, because tefillin is a Torah level mitzvah. And it's at least a Safek Daraisa. There's an uncertainty here. And so that becomes a very, very important practice. So in terms of defining what the real Adar is, the Adar Rishon or the Adar Sheni, I would say the following. Intuitively, we should assume the first Adar is the real Adar, because the second Adar really exists only for one reason: to ensure that Pesach falls out in the spring. It's really to fill in a particular purpose. But what this Gemara did is this Gemara complicated everything, because this Gemara surprised us by saying, even if you already celebrated Purim, and no reason to expect there was going to be another Adar, and the rabbis got together and said, wait a second, we looked at the way the calendar is set up, we looked at the way the harvest was going. This is like 6 or 7 pages in the middle of Masechta Sanhedrin. Now you figure this out, very complicated stuff. We're going to need another Adar. You already celebrated Purim. So what this Gemara is establishing is you've got to celebrate Purim again. And so instead of just relating to this as a fill-in on the calendar, now we start to relate to this as actually a really legitimate month of Adar. And once that's true, again, so the Sephardic interpretation went all the way with it. They said that's true for purposes of Bar Mitzvah, that's true for purposes of Yortzeit, it's true across the board. The Ashkenazic tradition was caught kind of betwixt and between. So the Ashkenazic tradition says in terms of Bar Mitzvahs, yeah, we're going to follow the second month Adar. In terms of Yortzeit, we're going to follow the first Adar if you want to do both Adar. And again, there are many other areas of Halacha where this comes up. I'm not even going to get into it now. But again, you can imagine in terms of commercial transactions. Somebody puts into a shtar, into a document, that the sale is effective the third day of Adar. Somebody come and tell me, is that Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? Massive amounts of halachic literature on this topic. You know, it would be good if they specified, right? Somebody takes a neder. I'm not going to eat meat the entire month of Adar. Okay. Now somebody tell me, does that apply to Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni? Does that apply to both? What do people mean when they refer to Adar? So there are so many different areas of halacha. It's not just Yortzeit, Bar Mitzvah, and Purim. But those are at least three of the different areas, very, very practical areas that come up. Intuitively, again, I would have said the second month of Adar isn't really a month. It just exists so that Pesach is going to fall out in the spring. This Gemara is really, and it's what Martin mentioned last night. Martin was the one who anticipated this. Mishenichnas Adar, Marvin Besimcha. What did Rashi say? That it's not just the entire month of Adar, but it goes all the way through Pesach. Yimei Geula LeYisrael, based on this Gemara, Lismach Geula LeGeula, to connect the Geula of Adar to the Geula of Pesach. And of course, I'll conclude on this note, if you actually think about it, all of the critical events in Megillas Esther happened on Pesach. So there is a very deep relationship there. Remember, Haman cast his lot on the 13th day of Nisan, right? Then, of course, you have the 3-day fast. Then Esther goes to the king, right? One day followed by the other day. So as the Gemara points out, all of the critical events of the Megillah happened on Pesach itself. So this connection between Purim and Pesach is a very deep connection. We, of course, you know, have the Tanis Esther in Adar. We scheduled it for the 13th of Adar, but in the actual Megillah, they were fasting on Pesach. The Gemara says later on in Megillah, how can you fast? You know, it's a holiday. And the Gemara answers, well, you know, if they're going to kill everybody, you know, it's a good enough reason to fast. Okay. Rabbi Hanani.